Welcome to A Page or Two Podcast, where authors tell us a little bit about themselves and then share with us a page or two of their works. I'm your host, Scott Taylor, the Bald Chronicler, and today we are glad to welcome Michelle Davidson Argyle to our podcast. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here today.
And just a little bit about Michelle. I took some information from her website. Michelle lives and writes in Utah, among the Rocky Mountains. She adores chocolate, sushi, and ethnic food. And she writes that she likes peanut butter and tomato sandwiches. And we can't forget about cheese. Lots and lots of good cheese. Michelle has written several books, including The Breakaway, Bonded, Monarch, A Curse So Deep, and True Colors, which is actually a short story collection. And I believe in one of those books you've written a story about Cinderella, is that correct?
Yes, I have. That's titled Cinders.
You've been writing for several years, have you not?
I have been writing since I was about 10 years old, but professionally I've been writing for about 4 years.
Oh, great, great. What was your first published book?
My first published book was Cinders, and it is a novella, and I self-published it, not because I couldn't get it published anywhere else, but it was sort of an experiment, and it was also a novella, so I knew that it would not be the best book ever to try and get an agent or a publisher, and I wanted to do everything myself and see what all this self-publishing hype was about and see if I liked it. So Cinders was the first book I wrote that I felt was good enough to put out there. So I self-published it. I created the cover myself. And it did very, very well. And I actually found my publisher, Romalda Publishing. I found them, and it's a long story that I won't tell here, but I found them because of Cinders. And I ended up sending in my manuscript Monarch, which is an adult thriller, and they signed that book. And a little while later, they were interested in Cinders and the other fairy tale novellas that I had planned, and they decided they wanted to offer a contract to publish all three in a collection titled Bonded. Longer for sale on its own, but Bonded will be coming out with Romalda Publishing November 1st of 2012.
Wonderful. So what's it like to actually hold the book that you wrote in your hands or see it in a bookstore?
It's an amazing feeling. I've never, I don't know. It's hard to explain. It hasn't been different, honestly, from self-publishing and holding the book, creating it all by myself, to going to having a publisher and having them send me the book. It hasn't been a different feeling. I think as long as I write, no matter how many books I continue to produce, I will always be excited to hold them in my hands. It doesn't matter how many times it happens. Every book is special. So holding it and flipping through the pages and filling it that it's real is an amazing feeling. And seeing it on a bookshelf in a bookstore is pretty cool too. So
that is great. Now I've read Monarch, and I thought you had pretty much everything in there that you wanted to get out of it, with suspense and action and romance, and you sort of combined all that. Is that the genre that you write, sort of that action romance thriller?
Monarch is unique. Like you say, it's a mishmash of a lot of different genres. Monarch came about, I don't know if you've ever heard of NaNo, National Novel Writing Month.
Yes.
Which takes place, it's a worldwide event. It takes place every November, and you're supposed to write a novel within a month. And I was stuck on one novel for like a year, my novel, The Breakaway. I couldn't seem to get away from it, and it was the only book I'd written. There was another one I had written, but it's long since shelved and I'll never see the light of day again. But Breakaway, I just couldn't seem to get away from, and so I decided I need to write a different book. So November came around and I decided to do Nano for the very first time, and that's where Monarch came from. And it was, I don't know where it came from. It kind of been in my head a little while, but it was a really fun book to write. But the adult genre is not a genre that I want to stick in at the moment. To be gearing more towards young adult, new adult, younger protagonists than I have in Monarch. So I'm going more towards young adult, contemporary, and fantasy at the moment. So Monarch just kind of there. I may in the future in my career write more adult thrillers. Who knows?
Well, that's great. That's great. Some writers they really want to hop between genres, but sometimes they can't.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm very lucky to have a publisher who is open to publishing different genres from me. That's very liberating for my career right now as it's getting started, that I can feel like I can dabble in different genres and still get my work out there.
Now, you introduced your publisher. How have they been to work with?
They have been wonderful. I love them. They're very small. They just have started out in the past 3 years, but they've grown rapidly, and they're doing very well. And I've been very happy to be with them because they involve their authors in a lot of the publishing process. They let me have say over my covers. I'm very involved in what happens with my cover. I'm very involved with the editing process as well. And they're always open to talking with their authors about any concerns they have. So I talk to them a lot about the publishing process in general and about publishing, and they're always willing to answer my questions. So I really like them because they're so open and very involved with the authors.
That sounds good, that you're not just a number, or you're not just filed away for this month, for example, that they're involving you in the process. That's really good.
Yeah, that is one of the reasons why I'm staying there for now, is because I feel very important there. So I don't really have a desire to leave at the moment. Even if I have a chance to go bigger, I'm not sure I would take it right now, because I really like where I am.
With your writing, do you ever write something that makes you think, maybe I shouldn't have written that, or anything that makes you feel uncomfortable?
Every time I write a book, yes.
I guess for different reasons.
Yeah, I have a saying that if your writing is not making you uncomfortable, it's probably not worth writing. So everything I write, I try to stretch farther and farther and test my boundaries, because I want to get to a place where I'm exploring myself and different ideas. I don't want to be comfortable when I'm writing, if that makes any sense at all.
It makes a lot of sense, actually. Let's talk a little bit about what you're going to read today, and tell us a little bit about the excerpt and maybe who your audience is. Tell us, just introduce it a little bit and tell us why you chose that section to read.
Okay, I am reading a section, I'm reading the beginning section of Scales, and Scales is a novella, and it's a fantasy-based, or I guess fairy tale retelling. It's kind of in that genre, but it's also very literary. It is the third novella in the Bonded collection. The first novella is Cinders, that I talked about previously, and Thirds is the second novella, and Scales is the third. And Scales is a prequel to Sleeping Beauty. So it's the story set in my world of what I feel has happened before Sleeping Beauty. So it's like all the setup before the fairy tale that everybody knows. It's quite different, and I'm a little concerned that people, when they hear Sleeping Beauty, they'll think they'll be a little disappointed because there's not a lot of Sleeping Beauty references in the story. But if you're reading carefully, you see it all coming together, especially at the end, and it leads right into the original fairy tale. So I'm excited about this book. It has been the most difficult book for me to write in my career so far, and I've written 7 books so far. And I think this one was the most difficult because it felt the most personal to me. So that is one of the reasons why I wanted to share it today. Did you want me to just start reading or?
Why don't you just pick a point and then let us know when you're done?
Okay. Again, this is Scales, and this is from section 1, and the section is titled Light. The sun never set in Lysadar. The first time Serena learned how it set in the human realm, she gasped. You mean it disappears? She tried to imagine what complete darkness might look like. The sun in her realm traveled across the sky each day, changing the light, but it never vanished. Even when she slept, a certain amount of light surrounded her. There was always light. There is a moon, her mother, Elendia, explained in a voice smooth as chestnuts. She raised 2 fists, one for the earth, one for the sun. When the earth turns, half of it moves away from the sun toward the moon. The sun's light reflects off the moon like a mirror. That light shines onto the dark half of the earth, but it is dim. It is never truly dark or light, although the sky gets dark enough so the stars will shine. Lysadar and Redoa are the only places on Earth protected from that darkness. It sounds beautiful, Serena said. She had heard of the moon and stars before, how they twinkled in a void absent of any other light. Her mother's focus seemed distant, as if she was trying to see to the bottom of a murky pond. It must be very beautiful. Perhaps one day I will see it. Serena gasped again. No, that would mean you have been banished. She hung her head. You would have to do something terribly wrong to go there. She felt her mother's slender fingers curl under her chin and lift her face. Their eyes met, and Serena knew she would never forget her mother at that moment, the way her mouth curled into a smile filled with so much joy, even her eyes sparkled. I believe the human realm is a beautiful and enchanting place. It is why we fairies exist, Serena. Do not forget that. Serena nodded. Confusion enveloped her, but she didn't ask any more questions. They would only lead to more things she would have to wrap her mind around. For now, the thought of a moon and stars and darkness enveloped her. She slept fitfully. Outside her window was a soft sky dimmed with clouds the color of soft pink cherry blossoms. All around her, the air breathed light. She had never known any different. Darkness was something she hoped never to see. The night her mother gave birth to Aileen, the sky glowed brighter than usual. It was customary for friends to gather around the house and sing after the birth. It was a way to calm the baby, and Serena found their soft voices comforting too. She stood in a corner of the room and held her doll close to her chest. A sister. She had a sister now. For some reason, it seemed unbelievable. Because fairies were immortal, they did not give birth often. When it happened, it was a magical moment. She watched her mother lying peacefully on the bed with Aileen asleep in her arms. Her mother raised her eyes to the healing fairy standing over her. I am finished now, Elendia, the healing fairy said. Make sure you rest. She gathered her things and nodded goodbye. Elendia thanked her and gestured for Serena to come closer. You may see her now, my dear. Serena inched to the bed. Aileen looked like her doll. She had porcelain skin and lips the color of the pink clouds at night, the way they were now outside the many windows. Aileen's breaths were barely detectable. She's so pretty, Serena said, her excitement rising. Can I touch her? Yes, but be soft. Young fairies are ever so fragile. Was I fragile once? You were. Serena reached out to touch her sister's face. The soft skin sent a tingle down her spine. She felt connected to this tiny being. It was unlike any connection she had ever felt, even stronger than what she shared with her mother. She looked into her mother's eyes, those deep jewels always filled with love. Why does my heart feel so big when I look at her? She asked, slowly lifting her hand from Aileen's cheek. Because she is your sister. Serena took a deep breath. Questions filled her mind yet again. She didn't understand why young fairies such as her were left with so little information about life. She knew she would grow to be wise like her mother, but it seemed such a long way off. One question pushed through. Where did she come from? Elendia's eyes sparkled. From my belly, we talked about that, remember? How did that happen? Pink blossomed across her mother's cheeks. I knew you would ask that eventually. It's only that I've heard the other children talk about how humans have their babies, and there are always two people who... Yes, there must be two fairies to create a child, but we are not like the humans. You have a father, but he is not bonded to me like humans bond themselves to one another, nor is it like the different types of bonds between elves or sprites. You know of our connection to the elements. Yes, Serena said. She lowered her eyes to Aileen, wondering what element her sister would harness. There were only four: earth, water, fire, and air. Her mother was tied to earth and had become a master of that element. Serena was tied to water. Her training was moving rather slowly. To create a baby inside my belly, Elendia said, I had to connect to my element as well as your father. The combination created Aileen. Will I ever meet him? My father, I mean? One day you might. You already know the male fairies live far away from here. If Aileen had been a boy, she would have been taken away by now. I know, Serena said. She wanted to ask why, but she knew it was a pointless question. She moved to another. What element is Aileen, then? She is air, Serena. Look, she is waking. When she opens her eyes, you will see sky, just as when I look in your eyes, I see a beautiful ocean, because you are water. Serena waited impatiently as her sister stirred in her mother's arms. Her puckered lips opened and closed in a tiny yawn. Finally, her eyes opened, and Serena stepped back. Her doll slipped from her limp arms to the floor. Serena knew other fairies who belonged to air. Their eyes reflected skies, clouds, even wind, but Aileen's eyes did not reflect any of these. They were deep and smooth and frightening. Serena saw darkness for the first time. And that's the end of my excerpt.
That was great. That was great. I've noticed that you've got a lot of relationship stuff going on in that short passage.
Yeah. My stories are very character-driven.
Now, that's the third of the three novellas in the book?
Yes, that is the third one.
Okay. Are they all related, or are they separate?
They are based on separate fairy tales, and they are completely separate stories. Cinders is based on Cinderella, and it's what happens after Cinderella marries her prince. Thirds, which is the second one, is based on a fairy tale that not many people have heard of, but it was one of my favorite fairy tales when I was growing up. It's titled One Eye, Two Eyes, Three Eyes, is the name of the original fairy tale. It's kind of a Cinderella fairy tale that ends quite differently. And Scales is the third one. And so they're completely separate stories, but they all take place in the same world.
Okay.
And the title of the book is Bonded for the collection, because each main character in each story has a relationship with an elf. And the elves they're very magical creatures in my world, and they bond with humans and fairies. And so there's kind of a bonding theme through each story. So while they stand alone, there's also a lot of things that tie the stories together.
That's great. That's great. Now, is Bonded available now?
It's available November 1st.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I'm sorry. November 1st. So I guess as that approaches, you'll be very busy in getting the word out and doing all those things that authors do to let everybody know about their book.
Yeah, I'm excited about this one. It has taken me longer than a normal novel because it's three separate stories. So I've been working on all three of them for quite a long time. They're completely finished now, of course. In fact, my editor has them right now, and I should be getting edits soon. But I think that's why I'm so excited about this book, is because it's been such a long time in the making.
Well, that's wonderful. It's great to hear that, you know, you once again, you'll have that dream, and then you put in the hard work, and at the end of the day, you'll have that novel. So that'll be fantastic.
Yes.
So, Michelle, I'd like to thank you for taking some time out of your day and sharing with us a little of your story on A Page or Two Podcast. You can find out almost everything you want to know about Michelle at her website, and that's www.michelledavidsonargyle.com. And also, you're quite an active blogger. And the blog website is theinnocentflower.blogspot.com. And also, I believe you have a fan page on Facebook.
I do.
Okay, and you can also follow her on Twitter. And as always, I'd like to thank the great Pat Leishman for the intro music, and you can check out his music at www.imecho.com. So, Michelle, thank you once again for stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you bet. So, please join us next time at A Page or Two Podcast, where we get to hear great authors share a page or two of their works. Take care.